Friday on the WPAN. It's our annual Festivus revival here, and we've got a lot of problems with you people, don't we, Brian?
Always and forever.
Always and forever. We'll talk about it. We'll get into our grievances, got news, updates, all that kind of stuff. But first, tell them, George.
I think I can sum up the show for you with one word. Nothing.
Wrestling fans, there are millions and millions of podcasts out there, but there's nothing like this one.
Do you ever just get down on your knees and thank God that you know me and have access to my dementia?
This is the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing.
Nothing? Nothing.
Welcome to the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, another Happy Festivus Christmas special, a production of Crackpot Podcasts. My name is Mike Crockett. I'm a longtime independent wrestling referee in the Northeast, currently on a pretty brief hiatus from the ring. Joining me, as always, is a veteran of the New England Independent Mat Wars. He's the irresistible force. He is the immovable object. He is the mastodon of the mat. The sultan of super heavyweights. What else am I missing? The kingpin of big men.
Yeah, there you go. You made the t-shirt.
I did, yes. I actually had to look at it to get some of these down. The kingpin of big men himself, Brian Malonis. Hi, pal.
What's up, buddy? How are you? We're probably going to talk about that hiatus because you may be going back on one.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I guess we will get into that. So we are recording this for YouTube, so you can see our ugly mugs as well as hear the audio on all your various podcast platforms. Remember when we said we're going to do these monthly? We were very committed to that.
I was. Well, you disappear all the time. You're too busy making TikToks. You're a TikToker.
I'm a TikToker. Yeah. I started like the month after, or actually a couple weeks after we recorded that podcast. I started doing these things on TikTok at the WPAN, the old account that we had for the podcast, just doing these today in New England pro wrestling history videos. And it's been 9 months now, I guess. So yeah,
you and your fancy TikTok.
Yeah, and so we just eclipsed 1,000 followers.
Wow!
Over there
now
on
you
the
can
TikTok.
Go live. Did you know that you can go live now?
I hear that. Yeah, maybe I'll test that out and chat with the throngs of people that I'm sure want to discuss 1990s Killer Kowalski shows.
People bring these up to me fairly frequently.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, I got nothing to do with it. That's all Mike Crockett.
I do tag you, and you told me to tag you in them.
I do. Yeah.
Are you ready for me to stop doing that yet?
No, you're good. You're fine. Okay. It's not like I do a lot on TikTok. Post a few here or there. No.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to build a little following, but it's just like, I feel like the amount of effort and time you have to put into it to develop any sort of following is just, it's not worth it. I'm not going to make any money. I'm not going to be, I'm not going to get millions of followers or anything like that. So it's not worth it. It's not worth the effort.
Well, don't I know it about the effort? Yeah. it takes a lot longer than
how's your tips going?
Look.
How's your tips going?
I don't think I've eclipsed $100. So,
so you're getting just the tip?
Yeah, basically. No, I've gotten a few very nice tips from people, and it's much appreciated. But
thank you, Mills, for tipping Mike Crockett. Right?
Please, dude. I've given that guy so much freebies. Actually, he tossed me a little something at one point. But
see, there you go.
Yeah, speaking of Mike Mills, I was basically a regular on his podcast for like 2.5 months, like over the summer.
Wow, look, so you could go do Mike Mills' podcast on the regular, but couldn't make time for once a month WPAN. Got it.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, I was doing the videos, and then he called me up because his buddy Doc there had some issues, so I was filling in every week, and yeah, he was asking me every week at the end of the podcast, so when's the WPAN starting back up again? I said, well, you got me too busy, dude, so I don't have any free time to do it. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing. Just those videos that keep me up half the night most times, because, you know, between research and, I mean, I don't have firsthand knowledge of a lot of these things. So I'm talking to people, I'm, you know, messaging all these different people that I haven't talked to in years, and then coming up with some kind of joke or something, some funny angle on it to kind of make it entertaining. Then recording it, then editing it. It can be a little bit of an undertaking.
So this is what you're spending your nights doing while your wife is in bed. This is what.
Pretty much. Yeah.
she must be really proud.
she certainly is. She likes them sometimes. She'll heart them.
That's very nice of her.
Kind. That's it nice. Is. It is. A lot of times she'll do that. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. You've been up to a few things too, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I've been working the indies. I've been, traveling the highways and byways, sometimes up to the Great White North. America's hat, if you will. and then I started training at a wrestling school. No, not that wrestling school. A different wrestling school.
Oh, so you're getting your reps in? Who's training you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're the trainer.
I am the trainer.
Okay, and then
started a wrestling promotion. We've covered that a little bit.
We covered that. Yeah, we covered that before the promotion started, and last episode that we actually did, episode 201, is that's how I weaseled my way onto the show.
That's how you got booked.
Basically, I just confronted Scott with. So that's how that happened. Let's start with the Beyond Wrestling School. How'd that come about?
Yeah, so they're one of their trainers, Ken Doan, decided to step away. That's not my story to tell, so this is not going to be where we discuss that.
Oh, come on! He's Kenny for the Spirit Squad, Kenny Dykstra. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Works for WWE. He went to a different school. So it's funny, like Drew Cordero, the owner of Beyond, who's a big fan of the TikToks, might I add.
Thank you.
He had reached out a while ago, before they had opened their school, to ask me, and at that point it was just like, I don't know, driving down to Worcester every week, even one time seemed, like a lot. And I don't think at that point I was looking to really, I was in a different, different, a little bit different place, I think, mentally and whatnot. So, the bio school, started, and then over the summer, Ken decided to leave, and Drew had reached out again. And also, in addition to Drew, Antonio the Promise Thomas, former WPAN guest, longtime friend of the podcast, mm-hmm. and personally, also reached out. And, I'll say that they sold me on it, but they really didn't have to sell me a whole bunch. It really was just a matter of, did I want to make the commitment to go down to Worcester, from New Hampshire weekly, which at that point, I did. Definitely, looking for something to obviously stay involved in wrestling and, start to expand my role in the business because, I hope I have a number of years left, but still closer to the end than I am the beginning. That's for sure. So it was the right time to, come back to and start training. I definitely had interest. I'd pop in at the New England Pro Wrestling Academy, here and there. I don't think that would have been a good fit for me. Anyways, there as a trainer. I've always loved, I've always loved the time I spent in Beyond Wrestling. I've always had a great relationship and a great friendship with Drew. So, and of course, Tom's presence as a trainer, Antonio Thomas, it just made sense and it sounded like a pretty damn good deal to me. So I was excited to join.
Now, it's at the White. Does that ring stay there all week? Like all the time, it's just there.
That's where they store it, yeah. But it goes up on Tuesday before class and comes down usually Thursday night after wrestling open.
Oh, my God. Who's putting that ring up and taking it down all the time?
The students of the Beyond Institute of Pro Wrestling. We have a great group of I'm obviously completely and totally biased, but we have a great group of students, dedicated, hardworking, want to be good in the ring, want to learn the business the right way, want to be involved, like really awesome, you know, awesome crew that we have.
And how long has the school been in existence now?
Since January. So they started up in January. So coming up on a year that it's been open.
Is anyone close or has been on shows or ready to be on shows?
Not yet, but yeah. Very close. So I would say, you know, probably starting maybe, I don't want Drew to kill me. But I would say in the next month or two, you'll probably start seeing some students make their debut at Wrestling Open. So that'll be really exciting.
Wrestling Open, which is happening every Thursday forever, right? On
that's right, every Thursday
independent
forever.
Wrestling TV.
Yeah,
yeah. So I was talking to, because I actually see Antonio Thomas, Tom Santel, quite frequently because our kids go to a gym together.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah, I see him, like I saw him
today.
So
that's why he sees you. Okay, that makes
sense. Yeah, I saw him today. So yeah, I take my daughter and he takes his son and we meet up and chit chat. I was talking to him about this, like when you first started, there were other promotions like you would go to NEWA or you would go to Atlas's promotion, right? To like cut your yeah. teeth, so you didn't yeah. you weren't starting on like a more established promotion. Is there what's the circuit these days? Because I'm out of the loop.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think there's a number. We were kind of talking about this last night, we're recording this Thursday night, pulling back the curtain. So I was there. I'm on there on Wednesday nights, and we were kind of starting to talk about some of the promotions. I mean, it's probably, you know, some of the ones that I frequent. You know, I think of, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Pioneer Valley Pro Wrestling that I wrestle for. Trying to get these kids a look in something like a Limitless or places like that. So I think there's no shortage of options. You know, Liberty States, Lucky Pro Wrestling. That's out there. So I think a lot of these places are really good, strong learning places that when the students are ready to branch out, they really can. But really, I mean, their home and their flagship promotion is going to be Wrestling Open / Beyond Wrestling.
What's your status with APW?
Atlantic Pro Wrestling would be another one. I have a great relationship with them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't sure you mentioned, wasn't sure if you did mention them on purpose or if it was just
I'm just old and was trying to think of things off the top of my head because I don't
understand.
We both know I don't prepare for these things.
No, and I barely prepared for this. So.
Welcome to the club.
We're at a net. Yes. So the school's going well. The promotion.
Yeah, school's going great. We got 30 something students, like full time students. Plus, we always have, you know, different people from the area dropping in. You know, Love Doug's always there. TJ Crawford's always there. DJ Powers, always there. Trying to think of, we have so many that Davey N pops in, Gall pops in, Channing Thomas, BRG. Like, it's a really good crew that comes in that works with our students as well.
The funny thing is, though, you talked about, you know, driving down to Worcester, and you've been doing that for how many months? Was it been 6 months now? You've probably been doing least.
Yeah, something like that.
And I moved to Worcester. And so we are in the same town at least one night, sometimes two nights a week, never seen each other. We've never met up in Worcester.
Well, you're a hard guy to make plans with. I mean, Christ, even before you had kids, it was like damn near impossible to get you to do anything.
Maybe, yeah. And like I said, with the time it takes to do these videos.
You got the old ball and chain around the ankle, I know.
Not exactly, but I mean, like I said, these videos, like to take time out to go down to the White Eagle and see you for an hour or two or hang out at the school or whatnot, it's like, then I got to go back and I'm starting to, you know, 10:30 instead of 9 o'clock. You know what I mean? That keeps me up even later.
Well, so, we'd love to have you down. I mean, I know you're typically a modest guy. Don't toot your own horn ever, but damn fine referee, a great knowledge of pro wrestling. We'd love to have you come down some night and help us out. So always an open invitation for my paisano. I always take care of my paisanos.
So do you have any referees? Are you training any referees?
We do have a kid who initially wanted to be a ref, but I think much like we did at Chaotic, you know, not so much you. I think you are a little more established, but I think of like Fat Pants did, you know, trained as a wrestler. And you know, when I say a kid, this is like literally a kid. He's like a high school senior, and I think he's wavering back and forth right now. Does he want to be a ref or does he actually want to do the wrestling? You know, because I think sometimes people put themselves like see themselves a certain way, and they think like, well, I could never do that. You know, so I think skinny 18-year-old kid might look at Roman Reigns and be like, yeah, I think I identify more with, you know, the referee. You know,
yeah.
Mike, Sean Bennett.
Yeah, definitely. So if someone wants to come down and be a part of this, where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, find us on socials, Beyond Institute of Pro Wrestling. The best way to do it is email beyondwrestling@gmail.com. Schedule a time to come by. We're there on Tuesday nights starting at, 5:30. And then Wednesday nights, we start at 6:30.
I think it's at Bio Wrestling, I believe, on like social media. Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Bio as in Beyond Institute of.
That's so correct.
It works out pretty well.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It does. So the promotion, Rad Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
We were talking about like, yeah, you know, we do a post-mortem of that after the first show, but that didn't happen. And then
no, it didn't.
Another show happened and shows kept on happening and we didn't do anything about it. So
you're a busy guy.
You're coming to the end of the year. They just had a Forever Rad, which is like, you know, the big the end of the season, if you will, of Rad Pro Wrestling. It's kind of, you know, because Scott is influenced by his time in Chikara, and they kind of did seasons like that. So it's kind of the vibe there. But
we still got the Holiday Spectacular coming.
That is coming up in
the Restival.
In my new hometown of Worcester. Yes.
And do you know that the Restival is a wrestling festival?
That's what I understand. I kind of figured that out. I was able to piece that together. It took me a couple minutes, but I was able to figure that one out. So what's the experience been like being a part of a promotion, helping run a promotion, I should say?
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. You know, Scott is a awesome partner. I couldn't ask for a better partner. He's so passionate. He works so hard. And for a guy that doesn't do drugs, boy, does his booking make me think he does a whole bunch of drugs. But he puts so much of himself into it. He puts his heart and soul into it. It is truly a passion project for Scott. Like, really, the booking of it, too, which I have, like, no part in. When I say no part, I don't have any part in the booking. I don't want any part of the booking. My experience from being the Chaotic Wrestling booker has pretty much left me never wanting to be a booker ever again. So I let him handle that. I think it's been a great experience. I think we've run really successful shows. I think in the short time that we've been around, we've started to get a little notoriety already because of like the goofy characters, and you know, we're having you know, well-known indie people come in, and we're having television people come in and play different characters even. So I think in the short time that Rad Pro's been around, it's getting a nice little foothold into the world of independent professional wrestling.
Yeah, for people that aren't aware of what Rad Pro Wrestling does, it's basically, I mean, everyone has, you know, there's indie guys in New England. They're all doing 50 different shows. But for Rad Pro Wrestling, everyone has a unique character that they only use basically in that promotion. It's all coming out of like you said, Scott's warped drug-free brain. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a unique experience when it comes to New England wrestling. Like I said, if you're seeing the same guys in 50 different places, if you go to a Rad Pro Wrestling show, you're going to see something that you don't see anywhere else, which is definitely a good thing. And it's a good marketing thing to get people to your show as opposed to another show. And they started out at this little bar in Amesbury, the first couple
brewery.
Shows.
Brewery.
Yeah, brewery. That's what I mean.
Bear Wolf Brewery in Amesbury. Fine establishment.
It is, yes. But, I mean, the ring barely fit in there, and there's very limited seating. So after a couple months, you guys were able to get over to another place in Amesbury. What's the name of that building?
The Lafayette Club, my wife's family has. I've been to so many events over the last 20 plus years at that room in that building.
Really? Oh yeah, because your wife did say she was kind of her family was local.
Yeah, she's from Amesbury. Yeah.
Yeah. So that building, not huge by any means as well, but you can at least have people on all four sides of the ring. You get a few rows there. It's a great building for indie wrestling. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And you guys have done well there, right?
Yeah. We sold out the first show, and we did end up turning. You know, we got to a point where we had to turn some people away. So we were like, oh, you know, so the next show after that was supposed to be an outside show. And because of weather, we've had to find a building sort of last minute that's right there in town. So Scott found that and booked it. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, yeah, I know that building. And we did well again there and just decided, you know what, because we could really only put, you know, about 75, 80 people for fan-wise into the brewery. So two shows in, two shows down of we've exceeded that capacity. So we're like, yeah, let's stay in this building, which again, like, you know, it gives us a little room to grow. But, hopefully it's something that is only temporary for the temporary home of Rad Pro Wrestling, you know, because it's, you know, I think word is starting to spread. The last show on IWTV is doing really well. We did a live watch. Number of people watched it live stream, taped live to tape or whatever. Yeah. Whatever the hell it is, whatever you want to call it. So I think especially, you know, the last Forever Rad, we got Colt Cabana to come out and kind of play with us as Harvey Dunkelman. And then Effie his name is escaping me now.
Yeah, it's another one word name.
Yeah,
like, I don't have
but,
it.
But yeah, Effie came and played a Mormon, a man of God. So, you know, that, you know, seeing Effie, if you're familiar with Effie, seeing him as a religious zealot might be a fun change of pace. But yeah, I have nothing but good things to say. Mike, it's been a great experience. We have a great senior citizen official yourself.
That is me.
Barry
yes.
Burbank.
That is me. Normand was Effie's name.
Thank you. Normand.
In Normand. Yeah.
Norman the Mormon.
Yes. I've had a hell of a time doing the Rad Pro stuff. Like I said, not doing much of anything, but I wanted to come back and support you, and I was invited back after
support
that first
me.
Show. And
support me with the payday you're taking me for. We're lucky if we turn a profit.
Indeed, my friend, indeed. I made a joke at the last podcast, like, what are your duties over there? Because Scott is, like you said, he's all over the map, he's all over the place, but... You're working more between shows.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, Scott does it all, man. And so I just, what do you need me to do? And he tells me the things that he needs me to do. You know, we discuss talent a lot. Dates, you know, we just laid out the calendar for next year. So a lot of it's just conversations and, you know, a lot of times Scott's like, hey, I did this. Hey, I did that. Hey, I bought this. Hey, I bought that. So, you know, I feel like I definitely report to him a little bit. I don't know. Maybe he reports to me. That's probably how it works, right? He reports to me. I give the orders. You know,
it sounds it sounds better than you being his lackey, which is kind of how it looks.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's a little bit of everything. You know, it's just really the two of us, you know, running the operation. So I know, you know, Troy Nelson helps a lot. Joey Eastman helps us out a lot. So a lot of good brain trust with Rad Pro Wrestling. People I trust deeply.
Yeah, Joey was kind of running the promos backstage from what I saw at the last show. So yeah, I haven't seen like the whole presentation on IWTV. I've seen a little bit, but not the whole thing. I really enjoy how it's put together. It's really something that people should go out of their way to see.
Yeah, it's different. Like, right, you hit the nail on the head. There's a million friggin' independent promotions in New England. You know, there's five more that pop up every year. So I think, you know, in order to survive, we just felt like we had to have something different to offer people. And there's nothing else like it in the New England area. And you know, I'm not going to I don't know every independent promotion out there across the country, so maybe there's another one doing this sort of funky thing, but nothing I've seen. So I think we got a truly unique product, and one. Yeah, I think if people watch it, they'll get hooked. They'll really enjoy it.
And at the last show, the Pit Boss, just proof of the fact that you're not the booker. You didn't go over for the title.
No, I mean, truthfully, my preference would have been to wrestle a lot less. And be able to do more. Like you talked about, like, you know, Eastman having to do, you know, did the promos and stuff. Well, it's like, well, because I had to have two matches. I had, you know, I think the second or third match on the card, and then the main event. So, yeah, I had to. What do I do? I had to work my ass off in the ring.
Yeah, Scott only worked. I mean, he worked the first show. He might have worked the second one as well. I think. Yeah, maybe he did like a six man or something.
Yeah, the
like
first
that,
two. Yeah, he did the first two.
The ones at the brewery, but once he moved over to the Lafayette, I don't think he's been in the ring since. Yeah. So Rad Pro Wrestling going well, right?
Yeah, going phenomenal.
All right, cool.
And so it's a good time for me to exit Rad Pro Wrestling.
What do you mean?
So yeah, you know, I guess it's as good a place as any to just talk about it.
This is a thing.
Yeah, it is. I don't know.
Oh boy.
Hopefully Scott doesn't get mad. You know, but it's my news to share. So, I'm gonna be taking an exit from Rad Pro Wrestling, and there's no animosity, there's no bad blood. I love Scott to death. I couldn't have asked for a better business partner. But you know, there's just certain things that. You know, I think for the company to go where it needs to go, I think it's time for me to step away. Maybe on a future episode, we'll really delve in deep. Clearly, there's a story I'm not telling. You know, it doesn't need to be told, doesn't need to be out there for public consumption. You know, but I love the company. I love the business we started. I want to see it continue to grow and become something, you know, very big. I'll always be a supporter of it, you know, but really, you know, truly when I think of, you know, who's the heart and soul of Rad Pro Wrestling, who does the work and does the booking and all that. And it's Scott. It's Big Scott, Max Smashmaster. And he's doing a phenomenal job. You know, I think it's only onward and upward for Rad Pro Wrestling from here on out. So I love it, and I'm glad I had a hand in it, and hopefully someday you know, it's like the dude who, like, Ringo Starr replaced in the Beatles, you know.
Pete Best.
Yeah, sure.
So you're not just out as management and whatnot. You're not gonna wrestle either. It's just walking away completely.
Yeah, I think the right move for me is to walk away completely. You know, for me, it, you know, it'd be weird. I feel like to to still wrestle there, but all of a sudden not be one of the owners. Like, I don't know. That would be weird for me. So, you know, I love, and again, they don't need me. Look at the talent on those shows. Like, you know, I was happy to be a part of it. I mean, if truth be told, I was looking to take a little bit of a step back anyways in 2024. So to be able to help run the show, because it does. There's a lot that goes into running a pro wrestling show. It's not just what you see on camera. There's lots of moving parts, especially with like getting footage done. So really, I mean, I probably only would have been on a handful of the shows anyways next year. So yeah, I'm going to step away completely for now, but you never know. You never know when the pit boss might show back up.
So why the step back in 2024? Is it,
I wanted to focus more on trying to, I'm not taking a step back from wrestling. I meant in in Rad Pro, my intent was to be able to be less in the ring and more engaged backstage.
Gotcha. Okay. So, You're still going full bore for 2024.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I'm in that ride it to the wheels fall off sort of mentality. You know,
how the wheels doing?
Not, I mean, you know, doing as well
been better.
Yeah. For a man of my stature, who's been wrestling for 22 years, my knees are doing about as good as you would expect.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. How's
hey, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I ever was.
Right? We'll go with that. So we talked about your journey with alcohol in the last episode. How is everything going there?
Oh, we're still I haven't touched booze now. We're coming up on 2 years. So,
oh, thank God. That would have been awkward if I
just pulled up it turns out this is a bottle of Absolute.
Yeah. Well, no, it's good to hear. It's been over a year?
No, coming up on two. February. Oh, yeah. Yeah, February will be 2 years. So, again, like we had talked about, for me, it's just better to, you know, it's easier for me to refrain than it is to control myself, you know. While doing it. So, you know, it's a decision I've never looked back on. I don't even think about, honestly, on a regular basis at this point.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, all I'm good happy. On that front.
Yeah. Good.
I'm happy you're happy, Mike.
I'm still boozing it up though. Woo!
But no soda, right?
No. It's been like 10 plus years, no soda. No,
you're a raging alcoholic, but no soda. Hey, I just want to give, you know what? You know, I just want to give it, and I don't know if he listens or not, but big shout out, and I only mention it here because Matt is public with it on his social media, but shout out to Matt Logan. Too, but Matt Logan, again, he shares it. I don't feel like I'm outing anything here. He shares it publicly on his Facebook and everything. I know there's wrestling fans on there, but super proud of Matt too. And I hope I find myself on the, I don't know how many more bookings or matches he has left in him, but I would love to find myself on the other side of the ring from Matt and Brian again someday.
With you and Pete Malloy, right?
Yeah. Hey, Pete looks like he's doing all right.
He is. I think he might have. I think he's doing the clean life as well. So
see, there you go.
Yeah, everybody.
That place, Chaotic Wrestling, fucked us all up. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's a joke. That is a joke. Let me get a text from Jamie. Did you say Chaotic Wrestling gave you alcoholism? No, Ring of Honor and being part of the Bouncers did. No, I'm kidding.
Oh boy. Oof. Oh, speaking of the Bouncers, I did see just today that you guys are putting feelers out there saying book the Bouncers in 2024.
Well, I mean, feelers were put out to us. Because Bruiser,
Bruiser had some health issues.
Yeah, so he had his hip replaced, and for some inexplicable reason, the crazy bastard wants to get back in the ring and keep going. So we had a couple places reach out to us because he put out that he was taking bookings again. And yeah, so I think not announced yet, but probably coming soon. Announcement where we'll pop up sometime in the spring. But yeah, the bouncers are taking bookings for 2024. You know, if promoters out there want to bring in the biggest tag team in Ring of Honor history, you know.
Yeah.
I'll it's funny, like when we do the entrance now, because I've had a few matches teaming with Bruiser since I've been sober. And,
yeah, how does that work?
Well, I come out, I carry a beer, and then usually I find an adult in the crowd and I give it to them.
No near beer?
No. I don't think it kills the illusion, right? I don't know. Maybe I just did there.
Yeah. It's kind of like with Todd there, Ivar, when he did the beer bash with Steve Austin.
With Stone Cold. He just poured it on his head.
Poured it on his head. That was it.
He had to do it. I mean,
yeah. And speaking of Ivar.
Yeah, he's killing it, huh?
Yeah, his partner is taking leave of absence. He's hurt, I believe. And so I think Ivar has been singles for how long now? A few months, ooh, right?
Yeah, a number of months now. And I talked to good old Todd.
On the regular?
Yeah, at least usually a couple times a week at least. But yeah, he's doing great. I mean, the company's obviously behind him. They're invested in him. Just any time I get to see him show who and what he really is and what he's truly capable of, because I don't know that in his time in WWE if he's really gotten to always do that, you know. They even became, you know, more comedy stuff for a little bit during the pandemic even.
With the Street Profits, yeah.
Yeah, right before he had gotten hurt. And just, I mean, they were starting to as well. Eric and Ivar, they were starting to really be able to show, you know, who they are. They worked with the New Day. They had the little feud with McIntyre and Sheamus, and so they've really gotten some good, you know, some good matches. But yeah, unfortunately, Ray got hurt, but it's created an opportunity for Todd. So I'm so freaking, again, anytime I see him be able to actually fully show what he's capable of, because to me, he's still one of the best wrestlers I've ever been in the ring with. I'm completely biased, but I think he is somebody who is could be a believable challenger in a main event feud for Seth Rollins' title. And he delivers every damn time he's in the ring. So it's awesome to see.
Yeah, and Tommaso is on Raw as well, right? Him and Gargano back teaming up.
I got to get booked as an extra for one Monday Night Raw so I can say we were all booked by WWE, you know, back when we were all in the, you know, like 20 years from now, you know, be like, oh, remember when we were all back in the E? Back.
Yeah, I said this to Todd, to Ivar. They did something, him and Bronson Reed, where they were tossing around security guards. It just kind of hit me at that point. It was like, that used to be us. We were at one point on the other end of that. We were the security guys getting tossed around by, you know, the superstars, and now Todd's a superstar. It's kind of
he freaking helped turn the Miz babyface. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's just crazy how this long and winding road. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope it leads to some more big matches for him. I'd love to see hopefully he finds a spot in the Rumble. I think that would be pretty damn cool. So, but I think he's gonna do great. And then ultimately, when Ray is healthy, I think it'll make the Viking Raiders even stronger. I mean, I think that as far as them, I mean, excuse me. I feel like there's that WWE, you know, tag team life cycle.
Yeah. Where they just
you all circle through. You're the tag champs, and then you kind of come all the way around, and then, all right, it's been a couple of years, now you're going to be the tag champs again. I mean, the only exceptions to that really ever in recent memory have been the New Day and the Usos. You know, so other than that, I think it's always this cyclical thing. So if you're a tag team that has any longevity in WWE, you just you ride the wheel.
Yep. And also, who else we know? Let's drop some more names in this podcast. Dijak is back down in NXT.
Yeah,
and rebuilding himself, which is good to see after the whole Retribution. What was his name? T-Bar.
Yeah,
period T-bar. Of his career.
T-Bone. Yeah.
So he's down there doing his thing and reestablishing himself, which is great to see.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen a ton of it, but he's doing well. Carmelo Hayes, Christian Casanova, he's doing phenomenal for himself. He's on SmackDown, I think, this week. So
yeah,
good stuff for him. He's always, you know, he's a good kid and. I'm happy to see the success he's having. I had a number of matches with him over at Chaotic. I think me and Tarzan might have been the first ones to book him in Chaotic. So,
I think so. Yeah, doing the Michael Hayes, yeah. Mike the Michael Jackson.
Are we doing thing. A name? Is this Festivus / name droppers?
Yeah, yeah. You got anyone you want to drop?
You know who's doing well? My old friend from Ring of Honor, my old longtime close personal friend Cody Rhodes is doing pretty good for himself.
It was a month before he returned the last time we talked. So yeah, that was quite a debut at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Who else? Who else do I mean my other good time long time personal friends, the Young Bucks, are, you know, they're still doing well for themselves in AEW, right?
Yeah. That's a big
Adam
thing.
Page, Hangman Page, another old friend.
He is your close personal, yeah. You were all over being the Elite back in the day.
Yes, yes. I had so many deep and long conversations with the Elite, riding up and down the roads. Truth be told, I don't think I've ever changed and actually changed in the same locker room as any of them ever, in spite of being in Ring of Honor for a number of years with them. So.
Wow, they had their own private dilly-dill?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a big deal, but it was, I think people made it out to be, you know, nefarious in that they, you know... But it wasn't that at all. It's just they were all close friends, and there was a large. It wasn't like two people were taking over a full locker room space. It was, you know, a large number of them all changing together. So, I think over the years that got twisted into negative bullshit from people who have no idea the dynamics of a pro wrestling locker room comment, or even people who maybe do but never were in that locker room. So
or. Back in the day when, you know, all the Chaotic guys that were on a different show and they'd all put their bags together and get heat for sitting and talking to each other. Yeah.
Yeah. The good old days.
God. The good old days.
I mean, some of that heat was legitimate. You know, some of the we'll leave the names unnamed, but some of the old Chaotic fellas just sit in front of the monitor and bury people.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that as well.
That might have been what the heat was about.
Could have been. Yeah. What else for big news in wrestling over the past 9 months? CM Punk, that whole odyssey from AEW to WWE. That was
wild, huh? Never say never.
Behold.
Huh? Never say never in pro wrestling. That was I've always been a believer of that, but that was one I truly thought was would be never. I never thought I'd see CM Punk back in WWE, and I wonder if Vince McMahon was still wielding the amount of power that he used to in WWE if CM Punk would be back, but. Crazy. I mean, I think the dude is like the top merchandise mover in the two top companies right now in America. So it's freaking wild. I mean, he draws, people care about him. You know, I've been told by somebody, you know, a number of people who know him, but, you know, very recently I was told, oh, all the stories you've heard, every one of them's true. Like, it's, you know, I don't think you're talking about a nice guy here, but. He's a draw. People care about him, and I think he'll probably have. It feels, you know, I bet the second act of CM Punk in WWE tops the first one.
I mean, you hear countless people who have said that their their reintroduction to pro wrestling was the pipe bomb promo. Just, I mean, there's definitely something to this guy that gets people talking, gets people watching.
Hey, assholes can be successful. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know CM Punk personally. All the limited interactions I've had with him, I've never come away impressed. Like, just put it that way.
Remember that one time he was very kind to us, though, at WWE TV?
It was so bizarre.
I think that was like when he was on his way out, so maybe he just like found out he was gonna be able to leave.
It was the night he it was in Boston. It was a night he like publicly negotiated his contract with Vince in the ring. That was in Boston. That was that night, and he came and told us there was lobster. I have a feeling he was just mocking us, but yeah, every other interaction was. I mean, the first interaction I ever had with him, I did extra work for Ring of Honor back in. Christ, it must have been 2003, maybe 2004. I don't know, somewhere in there. And he looks at he's bitching about like they couldn't find a gym open in Boston or something. Or he's like, I guess everybody in Boston just wants to be fat. And then he looks at me and Max Bauer and goes, "Sorry, guys." Like it's completely unnecessary. Completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Hopefully, maybe he's turned over a new leaf.
Gives a shit if he has. Like, it's about wrestling. Like, we need to stop pretending that the wrestling business is anything more but a goddamn business about making money. Like, it's. I think anybody who like leaves, because they want, you know, it's. This shit is not about like better booking and things like that. Like I can assure you the people who have wanted to go from WWE to AEW to be booked better, you know, if they were going to make significantly less money, they probably just would have stayed with WWE.
Just the fact that AEW let him go. There was money there. There was definitely money there. If people could, bite their tongues and, you know,
acting
stiff
like
upper
professionals
lip,
and adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not be children. Like, I don't know. Like, it's, I don't know. I mean, I've seen pro wrestling fights in locker rooms over the years. Like, and it's, I think every one of them I've ever seen has been pretty stupid. And you're talking about millions and millions of, like, when you talk about a startup like AEW, where I'm guessing the margins are pretty thin. I don't know what their books look like, but they're probably not great-looking books right now as a startup entity. And a guy like CM Punk and the amount of money that he can generate and revenue he can bring in and tickets he can sell, you got to think that Wembley crowd, like, he was as big a part of moving tickets on that as anybody. It just shows maybe business app. But I mean, if it's in wrestling now, contracts are guaranteed and stuff. So I guess you don't really care, right? I mean, if you have a guaranteed contract and get paid out whether 500,000 people watch you or 1,000,000 people watch you, maybe you just, you know, you don't really care. I don't know.
But if you hear about how Warner Brothers Discovery was very much behind CM Punk being a part of the promotion. Now he's WWE, and now you hear rumors of Warner Brothers Discovery talking to WWE about possibly moving Raw over there. Oh, and that'll open up a whole can of worms. And if that happens and AEW, I mean, because we all know that TV rights is where the money's made basically these days. The TV rights. So if something happens to AEW's TV contract, then that's lights out for them.
Well, I mean, they're backed by a billionaire. So I don't know. But I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, because the best thing for pro wrestling as a whole is for them to be wildly successful. I mean, I think the stupidest thing is just this like perceived competition. Like, it's like, their competition, and like Coke and Pepsi are, you know, where there's a clear number one, but there's room in the market for a clear number two, and that's the way I sort of, you know, I sort of look at it. Is I don't view AEW as competition to WWE. I don't think anything in the wrestling space can compete with WWE. WWE is there competing with, you know, like Apple and Netflix and Disney and companies like that. Like, they are a global entertainment conglomerate. They're not a professional wrestling company. You know, AEW is clearly a professional wrestling company. But I hope they are wildly successful. I hope the ratings quadruple. I hope they get a mega TV deal, because it's good for the industry. It's good for the people in the industry. The more companies that are successful.
No, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, the vibe with wrestlers today, you see on social media, is just so different, where people are, they're okay with just airing their shit out in public, because they know they have options these days, which is a fantastic thing for pro wrestlers these days.
Yeah, have leverage to have, you know, that, why, you know, why has the money exploded over the last couple of years? Well, it's because Tony Khan is handing out some pretty freaking big contracts to people. So it's good. It does. It gives wrestlers options. It gives people options. You don't have to feel stuck or whatever if you're unhappy with what you're doing in WWE. And if you're a guy who's on the lower end of the card over in, you know, WWE, your money's probably going to be similar, but maybe it's a, you know, I mean, it's, I think you can't tell me that a lot of these guys, maybe with the exception of like Jericho, Moxley, Danielson, right? I don't think they care about being more valuable to go back to WWE, but I feel like a lot of these guys probably, you know, think they're going to go there, right? The old learn a new hold, go get over there. Like it's the Cody Rhodes formula. You know, let me go out. It was, you know, for Cody Rhodes, it was always about getting back to WWE to get to WrestleMania. And, you know, so he went.
You think?
In this case,
think
he helped start the company.
Even when he started the company, you think in the back of his mind he was thinking WWE?
I always said I thought he would be the first one to jump back.
I had no, I didn't think that at all. I thought he was a lifer. I mean, he helped start the company.
I wouldn't have guessed.
I
always thought he'd end up back there and main eventing WrestleMania someday. Like, he's
after maybe if AEW crashed and burned, but I didn't think he'd go there as when AEW is still a viable entity.
I did, because that's where all the money's gonna be. You know, I mean, he was, when he was probably making AEW, was probably a fraction of what he is making in WWE currently.
I don't know, as EVP. I don't know.
I mean, he's got to be making what, $3-4 million a year minimum in WWE. Like, I don't think he was making that in AEW.
That much?
It's gotta be.
To lure him from that situation to WWE, I think it had to be pretty substantial. I think.
Yeah, damn right it is.
And that's
not, it's not Brian Malone's money, I can tell you that much.
Imagine if we had these options back in 2004, 2005, when we were toiling. The kids today, they just don't understand, Brian. That we
and it's
had
easy. Just put your shit out on social media or YouTube, or people find you that way.
There is the one company that was the center of the universe, the end all be all. There is no other option, and if you couldn't go there, you couldn't go anywhere. The opposite of New York.
Well, that's what was beaten to our heads.
Yeah,
which sucks, because I think about, you know, hindsight is, you know, always 20/20. You know, in the moment, I was making, you know, what I thought was the right decisions for me. But now I look back as like, man, I should have tried to get into places like Ring of Honor and stuff, you know, earlier. I should have, because of that mentality that I had, you know, I could have, you know, I wrestled Delirious. I forget what year it was. Maybe like 2011, something like that, maybe.
Vermont.
And he wanted me to come do a tryout. And I was, you know, at that point, I'm thinking, you got to pay for their tryouts. I'm not going to do that. You know, I don't even really care. I don't want to be there, blah, 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 blah. You know, how many years later, that's where I actually catch my break. But if I just had a smarter mentality, or been taught, you know, to have a more open-minded view of the professional wrestling industry as more than just WWE, then, you know, who knows? You know, I mean, I might have just fell flat on my face at that tryout at that point. I'm also a firm believer of things tend to happen, as they're supposed to. Like, you know, I think I was more appreciative and much more well prepared, you know, 2016, 2017 for that opportunity than I would have been, you know, whatever, 2010, 2011, somewhere in there.
Well, Brian, do you have any resolutions for 2024?
New year, new me, Mike. You know how it is. Oh,
I'm down. I'm down. You know,
this is a cop out. I think resolutions are so stupid. We all make the same ones every year. We all break them by like January 6th. You know, it's, the goals I have is just try to continue what, you know, I mean, the last time we talked in depth on here, we really talked about like mental health and things like that. And, you know, I've definitely had a slip back in mental health and, kind of has affected me other areas as well. So I think just anything, I got to refocus, get back on track, you know, just get focused on being healthy physically, healthy mentally, taking care of that. You know, your mental health is so important, and we've had a number of discussions about it over the years. It feels like a roller coaster sometimes, right? Like sometimes you just get into ruts and get in your own head, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. Just the last time we had talked, I felt like I was in a really good place. So it's something you gotta, something that I'm still learning about, right? You gotta stay on top of it. You really do have to focus on every single day of your life. So for me, it's not about making pie in the sky resolutions. I've done shit like that my whole life. It's really about, like, you know, living in today, living in the moment, focusing on what I can do to make today a productive and good day. And then I'll worry about tomorrow.
Yeah. It's been a roller coaster for me too. Just, lots of ups and downs.
Life, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're middle-aged men. We're middle-aged men now. This is the mortality, I guess, slapping us square in the mouth.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I got to do something about I'm getting up off the floor with my kid and huffing and puffing. So
you got to get off the sugars.
Exclusively sugars at this point.
You know what your resolution should be? You got to be off bread.
You're off bread. Oh my god! So have we hit Mike, just we about
got,
everything?
We should have. I should have brought it out. I got a Festivus game.
What's that?
A Festivus board game that we got to play sometime.
Really?
Yes.
Oh wow!
I should have had it here. I should have had it handy. But I have a Festivus board game. We'll have to play it sometime. Maybe on Festivus.
Do you have any grievances?
If I shared some of my grievances, I'd probably be texting you later to edit them out.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, my grievances, it's all the same lame ones, right? Wrestling, social media, terrible, especially X or Twitter or whatever. Yeah. You know, my grievance, stop being fucking idiots on stop with stupid wrestling dust-ups on Twitter and TikTok every damn day. Just like, does anybody enjoy this shit anymore? Come on.
Well, come on, man.
What do you got for grievances? You got any grievances?
No, not too much. No, I'm doing all right.
Oh, boy. You're such a wimp.
I didn't have time to think about grievances. I'm sure there's something.
You know my grievances with every company that hasn't given me a contract in 2023. That's who I got a grievance with.
All right. The 2024, that's your year.
Yeah, here's what I say to them. Right there.
Wow, the old Italian salute, huh? Well, you are Brian Roselli, so.
Right there, huh?
Well, Brian, speaking of different promotions, I believe you are hitting the highways and byways, crisscrossing this great nation of ours, plying your trade as a professional wrestler. And as I drag this out so you get your phone open, I'm hitting you with this.
I'm good to
okay.
Go.
You got dates.
I do. Next Thursday night. Oh, when's this dropping? Is this dropping on Festivus?
Yeah, on Saturday, I believe.
All
yeah,
right.
Just hoping.
All right. Just making sure. Next Thursday night, I'll be back at Wrestling Open at the White Eagle, the world famous White Eagle in Worcester, Massachusetts. Also, this is part of the Restival. Also at the Restival, Rad Pro Wrestling. I will not be on the Rad Pro Wrestling show, but I'll be backstage running it. But we are at noon on New Year's Eve, so January the 31st, New Year's Eve day. So come out, come to Rad Pro Wrestling. You know, come out, take the kiddies out during the day. So the show starts at noon. We'll be out of there, you know, before 2:30. You can have lunch. You can have a nice little wrestling show with the kids, and then go drink your face off for you know, for New Year's Eve.
There you go.
I will be wrestling on January the 31st, but not on Rad Pro Wrestling. I will be wrestling at Heavy Lies the Crown for
December
Beyond
31st.
Wrestling. December. Did I say January? I said December
yes.
31st.
Right.
New Year's Eve. I'll be wrestling first time ever matchup. Two longtime veterans of the Northeast independent scene. Brian Malone is taking on Dan Barry. How about that one?
Mm, very nice.
That's what all the people are paying to see, I assure you.
I know. I'm not going to make it, but you know, I'm sure there's plenty others.
And then the last date I'll leave you with here is January the 5th in Brockton, Massachusetts, Pro Wrestling Super Show. Another first-time matchup, I believe, with a longtime New England indie veteran this time, Teddy Goods.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a main event anywhere in the country.
Couple of first-time matchups for the old Kingpin with guys I've known for a really long time.
Exactly. Yeah, it should be very interesting. Well, if you want to book Brian Malonis, you can email him at brianmalonis@comcast.net. Is that still
a
thing?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Or slide in those DMs like I don't know, must I think it was a bot who wanted to book me in Indonesia.
Oh, all right.
I'll be on that flight.
There you go. At Brian Malonis. You got your passport now. You're ready to go.
Yeah, I do. I do.
All right, Brian. I think we're done here, right?
Yeah.
You got things to do, places to be.
Yeah, I'm good. It's Friday night, you know.
You feel all right?
But you know, go out, dance a little bit. You know, I don't know.
Hey, big guys don't dance. That's
you got to keep it. You got to keep it in here, right? You got to get the arms going, right? You get the arm. Look at this. Look, I'll stand up and do it. This is called the Malonis two-step.
There you go.
Right?
Very nice. As long as the arms don't go above the head.
That's
as long
for the
as the arms don't
home.
Go above the head.
No, they don't go above the head. You keep it right here. One and two. And one and two. Yeah. The Malonis two-step. Very famous in our family. Multiple generations now. I hope to pass it along to my son.
Very good. Well, when will we be back?
I don't know,
I don't think
Mike.
We should promise anything.
The next time you're like, hey, you want to record an episode? And I go, sure, when do you want to do it?
Yeah, and then you'll say, you're ready for tonight? I'll say, no.
Unless unless I sign on with another podcast elsewhere. Maybe I'll start my own.
Wait a second. Wait a minute.
Maybe I'll replace you. I've made some friends in the podcasting world. Maybe I'll just replace you with one of my friends.
All right, well,
I'll replace you with... Husky Rhodes or Dad Hat or D of Positivity or Jaxbo, all my old friends over at the other podcasting stuff I did.
The other podcast, yes, that other one. Oh my goodness, Brian. All right, well, let me know otherwise. See, you have all these options, just like with wrestling. There's all these options for you.
I'm in demand,
baby.
The world
is your oyster. World's your oyster.
I'm in demand, baby. I'm back, baby.
Don't unsubscribe or unfollow, however it is these days, on the Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. We're on Pandora as well, I believe. Anywhere you're subscribed, stay subscribed because you never know when we'll pop up again. So I guess till next time, for the Kingpin Brian Malonis, this is Mike Crockett. Big ups to Mucko, and thanks for nothing. We'll